Hey, everybody, it's Lisa Lampanelli, the Queen of Maine, and you know what? I got my own podcast. Yeah, does everyone have one? Pretty much, but mine's different because I'm going to help you like I help myself. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli every week is going to teach you how to have the fabulous life that I have. If you don't listen, you're just stupid and don't want to help yourself, so don't even listen. I don't even want you to. But if you do, if you disobey my orders and listen, you can go to feralaudio.com or download it from iTunes. But again, don't listen. I don't even care.
Feral Audio.
Georgia.
Summer party, Allie.
Hi.
It's Sunday afternoon.
Sure is.
It's how many degrees out is it right now?
It's approximately hot as fuck.
Yeah. It's got my temperature gauge said 1 billion fucking degrees.
Yes.
Which is actually what the Fahrenheit stands for. It's actually also means fucking hot.
Well, that's what I learned this week.
So we're in my apartment. We didn't set up the TV because aforementioned, it's so hot.
Georgia. What did you learn this?
Well, Allie.
Hey, this is Slumber Party, a podcast with Allie and Georgia.
Yes, it
we
is.
We always start this with one thing we learned. Mm-hmm. What I learned, George, Allie,
yeah,
is that there is a place called Frog Frozen Yogurt in Hollywood.
Oh.
It's like a frozen yogurt bar, you know, like do it yourself. They weigh it. You know what else they do?
Oh, no.
They will deliver it for
Shut
you.
Up.
$10 is all it takes.
How much yogurt do you get for $10?
Whatever. Well, you like, it has to be at least $10. So okay. You can get like two smalls with all these toppings. Or you can get like one large with like these toppings. And they'll deliver to you and they're open until midnight.
That doesn't sound like a good business model.
It's, who cares? Let's get at it.
I mean, it sounds like great for us, but terrible for Frog Yogurt.
Yeah.
Well, what are they getting out of this?
I bet they're, you know how much yogurt costs for people to buy? It's so cheap.
I don't
so
know.
So they just charge us three times as much.
How much is a pizza when you get a pizza delivered?
Usually it ends up being around 20 something.
Right? If you came at me with a business model, it's like you need to order at least $75 for the yogurt and then we'll deliver it. I'd be like, okay, because you need to have a refrigerated truck. You need to get a penguin who can drive.
Okay, you're overthinking this.
I just don't
accept
understand.
It as your Lord and Savior. Okay, what'd you learn?
What'd I learn? I learned not to go into the frozen yogurt business.
Mm-hmm.
And also I learned about these, I'm going to bring it back to bugs because I feel like I haven't had a good bug fact in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reading about it and I'm reading about bugs that use tools. Mm-hmm. You know how a big thing in like animals is like if you use tools, you're like next level mm-hmm. baller mm-hmm. in animal. And so there are a few bugs that use tools. And one is the type of ant that will go up to its rival ant's nest and just drop boulders in it like Indiana Jones so it can't get out. And they wake up and they're like, what the fuck, man?
What the heck?
But there's a type of weaver ant. And they call this a tool because it implements a certain thing to use as glue when it's building its nest. So they take leaves together. They make a nest out of leaves. And they use the butts of their babies. Larvae make a silk that the adults don't. So they will grab in their jaws a larva and they'll use it like a glue gun to make their house. And
they rub their babies' butts. Yeah. On things as glue.
Yeah. It'd be like if you were building a house and you're like, I got a bunch of leaves and some duct tape, but the duct tape comes out of my baby's butt. So I'm going to hold my baby in my mouth and I'm going to duct tape my house together. And then someone's like, hey, good job. You used a tool.
What if like cats did that? Or
that'd
dogs?
Be awesome.
And there's just like a thing that they did. Yeah. You didn't know that?
They grab their kittens and they smear in their butts on.
All right. That's adorable.
I know. Isn't that kind of cute though?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I learned.
I love it.
We should ask our guest.
Hey, let's introduce our really awesome guest who's a writer and a comedian and a musician and so effing funny and talented. And we love her. Her name is Karen Kilgariff.
Oh, hi.
Karen
Kilgariff. Big fan.
Big fan.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Thanks for being here.
With you gals.
You gals.
What'd you learn?
I learned, this is a little bit woo-woo, which is kind of my thing.
I love it.
But I learned that the best way to say no to somebody that you don't want to say no to as a person, but you want to say no to the thing they're asking you for, is just to say that's not my thing.
Oh.
It was like, it came to me, someone asked me to do something and be on like the panel that picked people to do something. And I got all stressed out about it because I felt like I immediately had to do it. Like, it's that thing where someone asks you to do something, you're already doing it.
Yeah.
Instead of like that, you almost go into that thing of like, well, I have to do this and this and this. And then I realized I just don't want to do it. I had to realize like I have preferences and that's fine as a human being. And then I was like, well, now I have to tell them I don't want to do it. But normally I would just lie and be like, I have ice skating lessons or some weird shit. Like, oh, I can't, like some weird thing. And instead I was like, oh, I don't have to lie. And it's not that big of a deal. And I just get to have a preference where I say, no, thanks. That's not my thing.
What did they say?
They said, we totally understand. Thank you so much.
That's great.
Because I said, I adore you guys. I would love to do anything with you. This is just not my bag. The end.
Did you feel like a
woman?
Yeah. Did you feel like a woman?
Yep.
And a boss? And yes. Did you feel like, oh, I'm prepared no matter what now for another one of these situations?
Yes. It was like I bought the most perfect Ann Taylor boss suit that I now am wearing invisibly for the rest of my life. Where I finally realized that my own reason is good enough.
I never do that. I'm always like, yeah, I'll go with you to this concert with a million people there and no seating and like general admission. I'll go.
Your thing?
That's so not my thing. And I don't have to be like, I love you. I care about you. So I'm going to go and be supportive of you.
And then hate it and be like, oh.
I'll be like, that's not my thing, but I'll go to dinner with you beforehand.
Exactly. You get to, you know what? It's better to state your thing or what isn't your thing than people know. Instead of treating them like they're weird hothouse flowers that couldn't handle the facts of just like, I don't like that. Like, you don't have to match personalities with the people around you to get along with them. You don't have to like, you don't have to just, because you get picked for a thing. I think that's the other element. I was honored to be picked at, because I didn't necessarily know these people, but it was like a comedy thing. So it was like, we've picked you. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like that's like a thing in this business where people kind of use that as like, well, you have been chosen, now do exactly what we want you to do. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you kind of get in on something.
And they also say there's so much in this, in our society, that's like, you have to say yes to things that scare you. You have to say yes and try it. You have to see if you can do it, when it's like, and that's so much pressure to be like, well, if I say no, I'm letting myself down. I'm not doing this and that. And so you stress and stress about it when really it's like, it could be something that it's just not right for you.
Right. It's the difference between being an adventurer. It's like, I am an adventurer. I don't live like a closed down life. So I don't have to say yes to everything because I do that in all these other ways. So there get to be ways where I'm just like, no.
How much would you rather too, if you invited someone to go do something and like, oh, you know, I wish I could do it. That sounds so fun, but I have an orthodontia appointment and then I have a kite flying lesson. Yeah. And you're like, God damn it. Okay, I'll try and get you in the next one. Wouldn't you rather they were like, oh, I don't want to do that. Because then you just cross them off your list.
Yeah. Yes. And then you know that person. It's like, that's the point of actually being friends with people or getting to know people, is actually knowing what they're like, as opposed to like, are you going to be my weird shadow? Oh, well then go fuck yourself. Like, no one's looking for that. So you might as well just assert yourself and just be like, hey, cool, but no thanks. Like that, and that's I'm saying that as if this is something other people need to hear, when I know that as a 40 something woman, that's completely my realization that probably a lot of people at, you know, around 20 were like, yeah, that's fine. But for me, I just never was able to do this until like literally 2 days ago, where I was like, oh, the phrase not my thing is a full sentence.
That's, I feel like that's you being vulnerable. Too, right?
Do you think it is?
Wouldn't Brené Brown of
Daring Greatly would say, be vulnerable. Because that is, you are like, here's what I like and don't like. And they could come back at you and be like, karaoke's not your thing?
Yeah.
Don't you like art? And you'd be like, now
or
you know
they
this.
Could be like, you're, by saying no, you're somehow an asshole or a snob, which is like my big thing. Is
and
like,
that's their issue.
Right.
As long as you're not a dick about it.
Probably wouldn't work for someone's birthday party. And they're like, do you want to celebrate my existence? And you're like,
I really don't want to, though.
I guess you could just be like, parties aren't my thing.
What do you do, though, if like I had a, you know, like I have friends, and it really stresses me out lately when people are like, here's what I'm doing for my birthday. And it's this incredibly complicated thing. Like,
no.
Go to a fucking bar and let people buy you drinks like a normal human being. Instead, don't make me drive to Pasadena to some like a bar that has this complicated thing. And
what, like a dress code and a list?
Dress code, and then I'm going to have to drive home, and I don't want to put myself in a situation where I need to drink and drive.
That's basically a drinking and driving themed party. If you're inviting people to Pasadena to drink and then drive, I mean, that's what you're asking for.
I think
for.
Birthdays are like, come with me to this place I love to go to, and don't make me pay for any of it.
Well, let's play.
Let's play. It was my birthday. Let's want to play a slumber party game. That's you. You can't say no because it's
you can't
a slumber
say
party. I don't
thing,
know why I asked you that.
But it's my thing now. I love to say no. I finally figured out how to do it.
You can't say no. Yeah. You could say no.
Well, okay, let's hear what it is. Let's hear what it is. Are you gonna put my hand in water?
Yeah, we're gonna put your hand in water. You're just gonna urinate on yourself.
Okay,
fine. And it's gonna be recorded. Are you cool with that?
Yes, sure, guys.
It's my thing.
I want to belong to the party.
But no, we play a game called "It Was My Birthday," and
no, it's not. It's called.
It was my birthday. And that's just essentially like, it's like a font would be like Adobe entitlement. But we talk about your best birthday or even your last birthday or your worst birthday. But, you know, it's funny because like every time you see a person, like someone's a dick to you in a parking lot, right? They cut you off. And you're like, nah, you're a dick. But you're like, you know what? That person has had like a really bad birthday. That person, what did that person do on their last birthday? And that can, like, what if that person... like missed their flight and ate Cheetos alone on their last birthday. You don't know that about them.
Also, like, what if it's like you have a secret to birthdays? Like our friend True. Kat just went to Chicago alone for her birthday and was like, fuck everyone. Yeah. Goodbye. Wow. Yeah.
To do a specific thing?
To go see the city and eat and drink and have fun.
Oh, wow.
By yourself because she hates birthdays.
Birthdays?
What about you?
She doesn't like drinking and driving.
She doesn't like drinking and driving.
To Pasadena.
We're going to go to the Jägermeister go-kart field. You're like, wait a minute.
I was a little nervous, Allie, of your last birthday party. It ended up being great.
Oh, I thought my last one was foolproof.
It was great, but when I got the invitation, I was like, huh?
It was a full Beaver Moon party.
She had a party in a field late at night where it's illegal to go to late at night and drink.
Okay.
Yeah. And also initially when you made the invitation, you accidentally made it to start at 11 p.m.
Oh, that's because I made it in New York and I meant West Coast time. Anyway, on my last birthday, there was a full moon and the last moon in November is called a full Beaver Moon because that is when Native American tribes would build dams, like their last dams before everything froze over. Anyway, so it was a full Beaver Moon party, and I was like, I have a telescope. Let's just go meet at night in a public park, and you can bring wine if you want. Also, someone brought something to make an open fire. You're right. It was a little... looking back on it, I was like, what could be simpler? Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
It was great. It ended up being such a great party, but I was so... It was a stressful thing.
Because what? Because like all the variables were too...
Yeah. So many variables.
There were a lot of ways you could get arrested on... unintentionally arrested.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the peeing situation is difficult.
Yeah, the people peed in bushes.
Yeah, always a concern.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially for someone who pees a lot, like myself.
Yeah, for sure. Me too.
I really didn't realize quite what a terrible idea that was. Anyway, what was your last birthday?
I think that's fun.
It was so much fun.
But I do have that thing of I would have been the person that was always looking for cops. If I knew that was a possibility, and then I would have, that I just have that weird thing of like, I don't want to get in trouble.
If the cops showed up, I would have just been like, astronomy. And they would have been like, oh, sweet. Continue moon gazing. I don't know. Like, I'm naive about it. I was like, no one here has a knife.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you don't know your friends that well,
that's
do you?
That's true.
Or the people hiding in the bushes.
Right.
Who were just us peeing. Anyway, okay, your last birthday or your best worst birthday.
I can't remember my last birthday because I think it was like, it was one of those, I was home with my family and we just did something really low key.
Where's your family?
Northern California, Petaluma.
Oh. Oh, that's lovely up there.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
I feel like there's a lot of goat farms and like dairies and wineries.
Yeah.
Rolling hills.
Well, tons of rolling hills.
Like gift shops that close at like 6.
Yeah, because they're just going to make dinner in the back.
Oh, shut up. That's amazing.
There's a place that's on the way from my hometown, Petaluma. You drive out to the beach, which is only like 20 minutes away. Oh. And you can drive through a little town called Freestone. And it is a one street town. And one of the only things in the town is a bakery. And you stop at the Freestone Bakery. And it's these women. We went there like just by chance on Halloween one year. And it's clearly a coven of witches that run this bakery. Because it's just all these women in this huge room making all these insane baked goods. and breads and things that are like insanely delicious.
For whom? Like whom buys them?
Well, they ship them to like my town and then and maybe San Francisco because they're very artisan. It's almost like La Brea Bakery style, but desserts as well.
That's
but
my
it
dream.
It was like we happened upon it. It was the best. And I, for probably 20 minutes, I was like, I think I have to move here. Because it's like in this part of Sonoma County where it's all rolling hills, green rolling hills, and then these long strands of eucalyptus, lanes of eucalyptus, that to me is just my favorite.
What if, what if we need to do that? Move to a tiny place.
If you could get a discount on pastries, would you become a witch?
Oh.
Like, would you be like, I'll join your Wiccan party. What kind of discount do I get?
I think that's a big stretch.
Yeah.
I'd do it.
You can make your own pastries.
Can you? Is there like a Wicca light? Is there like a semi-Wicca?
Like, so you could just skim?
Wiccish?
Like you, candles, just a candle thing?
Just candles and like dresses and like kind of like wolves. But like you don't have to do any spells or
there
anything.
There must be.
Spiritual. Right? You're a spiritual person.
You just get one of those stickers that says like women run with the wolves or whatever.
Yeah. You got to have crystals, right?
You know what I want? I want to put something on my Hyundai Elantra that says my other car is a broom. That's all I want.
Speaking of witches and brooms and stuff.
Yeah.
Can we ask you your ghost stories?
Oh yes. That's my.
We hear that you have great ones.
I do. I have two. One is from college. We lived in this house in Sacramento, it was me and three other girls, and it was the summertime in Sacramento. So one of my friends had the upstairs, it was like a redone attic that she literally couldn't be in for the whole summer because it was probably 300 degrees in this room because Sacramento, like outside it was 110 and inside our house, it was probably 90. But then if the closer you got to the swamp heater, it was like 89. Ugh. So we'd literally get drinks and sit around the swamp heater all day long.
Swamp heater.
It's the thing that goes in the window. That's it cools like electrically as opposed to central air.
Oh, you know, it has water in it. So it's almost like a mist fan. So
I've never heard of it.
Like a little mist of water on you. Then your body is like, okay, I'll evaporate this. And your body temperature goes down like half a degree.
Yeah. Wow.
So we'd like sit with our arms up on the swamp heater and like try to get cool. It was really super miserable. So, basically we would have friends over all the time and we would party at night and then inevitably, somebody would wake up in the day and go, who was doing dishes last night? And nobody would. We never put it together. We never talked about it. It would always be like, no, I didn't. And one time I slept on the couch in the front room and I distinctly heard the water running. I woke up. The water was running. Dishes were being moved around because we never did the dishes.
You had a ghost maid.
Like a sink full. And so there was like some action in the kitchen. And I never even thought to ask anybody. I was just kind of like, oh, that. It was like that weird thing, you know, in your 20s and you just kind of are going along. You're just hoping everything doesn't explode all the time. So
especially
like,
when there's a lot of you, too, because you just don't check in with anyone.
Yeah, you don't check in. And you're like, I avoided the kitchen altogether because I never washed one dish and they hated me for it.
Oh, no.
And I didn't care. So it was always kind of like, well, let's just see if one of them starts crying and then I'll do the dishes. I was the evil roommate. So anyway. We had that a couple times, and then one night, I had this dream that was very, very upsetting. My room was in the front of the house, and I had this dream that I heard people talking on our front porch, and I got up and looked out, and it was like an old-fashioned door with a glass at the top, mm-hmm. and I looked out, and there was a mother and a daughter with braids and with a suitcase, and the mother was saying to the daughter, we're just going to stay here for a little while and hopefully he goes away. We'll just hide here. And we had this weird tiny front porch on this house. So literally I woke up like in the dream, I was just looking out the window, watching them talk. And then I woke up and I was really upset when I woke up. So it was like a nightmare, but it didn't track as nightmarish except for just the really bad feeling.
Yeah. Like such goosebumps right now.
So I opened the door to my room, which opened onto the front room near the swamp heater. And my other roommate, who was supposed to be up in her attic room that couldn't sleep up there, slept downstairs all the time. When I opened my door, she woke up and she went like that. And I was like, I was looking at her and she's like, oh, I just had the worst nightmare. And I go, was it the mother and daughter with the braids?
No.
She burst into tears and goes, why did you say that? Why did you say that? And just like started screaming. And then we were just both staring at each other. And
we talk about Allie's face real quick before we go on right now because Allie is hyperventilating.
Are you crying a little bit?
She's crying. You're making Allie's day right now.
It's
so scary.
It was crazy.
Oh, you're crying.
Shut up. And so here's the thing that, like, this is what I love about this story is then, like, in any good horror film,
you find out who used to live there.
Everyone leaves for the weekend but me.
Oh, no.
Bye, I say innocently to everyone as this thing happens, that, like, literally seconds after it happened, we're both cracking Keystone Lights as if nothing happened and not talking about it.
Oh, my God.
So everyone leaves for the weekend, and I'm in this empty house by myself. So, and I'm reading Silence of the Lambs, the book.
Oh, good.
Oh, bad smart, idea. Smart, smart, smart. Perf.
So I go to bed, and I wake up. This is going to take a little bit of explaining. It's slightly irritating, but the bathroom was connected to my room and then the back hallway. So there was a door that opened onto the bathroom from my room, and then on the other side of the bathroom, it opened onto the hallway where my roommate Christy's room was.
Got it.
And the stairs up to the attic. And I woke up in the middle of the night hearing someone walking down that back hallway. And I was laying with my back to my room, facing the wall, hearing slow footsteps, and I thought, I'm asleep, this isn't really happening, it's just the house crickling. And the more I'm saying that to myself, the more it's very definitive footsteps.
Holy
walking down this hallway.
Shit.
Then I hear the bathroom door open.
No.
Then I hear three footsteps go across the linoleum to the door to my
room. No, I would kill myself.
No. Then I hear the door to my room open. Nope. So at this point, I am just staring at this wall.
Dustin's face right now, too, is
I'm
losing
fully
it.
Awake. I believe that I'm awake. I'm sure we could go back and they could prove to doctors that I wasn't or something, but I'm positive I was awake.
You were having an experience.
I was having a very real experience. I'm staring at the wall going, this is how I die. No way. That's so crazy. Because I've always been interested in murder, and now I'm going to be murdered.
You thought it was like a murderer.
I was positive. There was a man in the house.
Yeah.
My bedroom door opens. I hear two slow, quiet steps on shag carpet, which was what was in my room. Then I feel my bed tip back as he sits on the edge of my bed. And I'm staring, literally, like my hands were underneath my cheek, like little prayer mode. And I just feel myself tip backwards.
Like towards him?
Towards him. And then one arm goes under me and one comes across and starts hugging me, tight, until all the air is pushed out of me. And I am sitting there like I can't breathe. And I'm like, holy shit.
Did you think it was a person still?
Yes. And then, like, boom, it was just over. So, like, suddenly I could breathe. I took this crazy gasping breath and called my sister and, like, you have to. It was, like, 3:30 in the morning. And I called my sister and said, you have to come and get me right now. And she was so mad at me because she was like, you scared the shit out of me. And I'm like, you have to come right now. You can't, like, get in your car in whatever you're wearing and come and get me.
And did she do it?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And then I stayed at her house until all my roommates came back. And then we just kept living there.
What? Did you tell them about it?
Yeah. But I mean, it was really embarrassing. Like, I was by myself. Yeah. I was reading this scary book. I just didn't think people believed me. But what I honestly think happened, because I kind of believe in stuff like that, and I was hugged by a ghost. I was hugged by somebody.
Yeah.
I'm positive.
That's so much worse than Touch My Angel, by the way.
It's not, yeah, there's no Della Reese in my story.
Oh.
I think that the person that was living in this house killed those two, the mother and daughter. And I think his ghost is still in that house. And I think he put the mother and daughter in my room and then went and murdered them. But that's just my personal theory.
Holy shit, how long had that house been there?
It was from the 30s.
Holy ball. That's like the most haunted time in the world.
Worst. It was a bad time
for haunting. Did you ever ask the landlord how many bodies were found?
No, because the problem was we were always like super late with our rent. Oh. And when we finally moved out, we just put all, this is one of my favorite, like a visual that'll stay in my head forever. We cleaned out the whole house. And so we had like, say, 20 garbage bags filled with garbage. And we just put them all in the garage and shut the door and left. Knowing we weren't going to get our deposit back, knowing it was just
somethings.
Like, yeah, exactly. Just
the
burn the ground and run. So I can't even, I've tried to look it up and I don't know what the exact address is.
Did you ever, have you talked to those roommates since and like compared as adults, compared notes?
No, we had, it was like early 20s, everybody fell apart.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. You don't talk to them anymore.
Yeah. Slowly one by one, it was like it all peeled off and went terribly awry. So
that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
I actually still do talk to my friend Patty Riley, who's the one that lived in the attic. I'm still good friends with her, but for a while
her ghost.
Oh wait, she's been dead this whole time.
That's the scariest shit I've ever heard.
We need to recover from that.
It's pretty good.
I feel like I'm pretty good. You guys have a good podcast.
You out?
Bye.
You checking out?
You just can't.
Nope.
You can't do it.
That's scary. For like life, for life-wise. You're like, remember that day that Allie became catatonic and never functioned again?
Remember when she couldn't anymore?
Yeah.
And she just didn't.
She just stopped
doing
it.
Can you? Check yes or no.
No, I can't. That's the scariest shit ever.
It was pretty crazy. I just love that it was so, like when you watch those ghost shows, when I watch them now even, you watch these people who have things happen to them over and over again and they don't move out of the house or do anything.
Yeah.
And it seems so stupid, but having actually gone through it, you can't talk about it. Like you, it's so weird, but like people will be like, who was doing the dishes last night? And like legitimately angry. And you just kind of go like, huh, whatever. Cause it's so weird. You just don't know. You don't have answers.
And
so
it's
you
hard
don't.
To come to that conclusion too, to be like, must have been a ghost doing the dishes. Yeah. Like what?
Yeah.
How do you explain it? If someone's like, please explain how this happened. Are you like fucking ghosts? Or are you like, you know what? It could have been. I was taking a new allergy medication. Like what, how do you explain it? What do you think is the explanation?
I mean, it could have been a medical thing.
It to get hugged by a ghost and have the same dream?
Right. The same dream thing is the reason why. Like, I could have said, oh, I was having a very upsetting lucid dream or something like that. And it was based on the fact that I was reading, you know, Silence of the Lambs. Except for what happened, it had nothing to do with, like, I wasn't a detective. There was no, you know what I mean? It wasn't, like, I never saw the thing's face. It wasn't, you know. It wasn't the same at all. So I don't know how to explain it. I just think that there were super bad vibes in that house to begin with. I think having the same dream as your roommate in a way that I weirdly like blind tested her accidentally just by saying the thing. And she like, it was like you. She did not like it and was like very upset by the fact that it happened that way. And I kind of have that thing of like, fine, if the scientist came in and said, radon gas was leaking in and you hallucinated, I'd be like, fine. But I also know the experience that I had and I can remember it very, very clearly. So.
I wonder how many, like, you know, the bad vibes you get in certain places that you go and visit and like, I wonder like what percentage of them is, I wish we could know like, well, yeah, that guy that was sitting at the counter is a fucking serial rapist. Yeah.
I was just
going
to say.
That's why you had bad vibes.
What if we, you know how before we used to be like, well, you must, if you have bad humors, that must be, you need to get this part of your body leached. Like we didn't know what cancer was for a long time, maybe. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know what diabetes was. And we didn't know that we were like, well, the woman can only make daughters kill her. Like we didn't know how science worked. What if we find out? Or what if the next generation is like, oh yeah, people didn't believe in bad vibes. And now we have vibometers and you can just tell where vibes are coming from.
Well,
Well, it's just, I was going to say like the guy, Robert Durst in The Jinx, where the first time I saw his face on the TV screen, he was like, it was one of those perp walks where he was coming around a corner.
I don't know that perp walk was a thing.
Perp walk? The perp walk. When they like walk the perp to court or out of court to jail.
Like to get him arraigned. Like the first perp walk.
Like orange jumpsuit jailers around him type of.
Like has his hair the way it was when he got arrested or whatever.
Yeah. Ooh. So the first time I saw that shot, his eye, like he looked like a demon to me.
Yeah. Right?
And I think there's like those, there are those people that I think you could be. You could know about certain people, but you also just wouldn't. It's about a safety thing where you're not normally around like full-on psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably aren't working on it to go, oh, I better really get this sense going.
Yeah.
But if we, I don't know. If
but
that
it's
was
also,
something
if you
studied.
Think, I was just talking to a butterfly expert about like monarch butterflies being poisonous. And then there's mimicry where other butterflies are not poisonous, but they look a lot like it. So birds are like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to eat that. And they're like, wah, wah, I'm not poisonous. But when was the last time you saw someone in a jumpsuit and handcuffs and you're like, he seems cool? Like, you have like, it's the same thing where like you see anyone in a mugshot is like, is like you're like, oh, that's a crazy person.
Well, also the
you
same
never
time,
see normal people like that.
Yeah, also, with the same time with that is like, what if you see someone like I have a bad vibe about him, but really it's your brain being like, those eyebrows and that the look in his eye and that like that lip and teeth are the same ones that like Hitler had and you just don't put it together because your brain just automatically
that
does
that tiny mustache.
Right. Yeah. And
you're like, Charlie Chaplin's an asshole.
Why does he keep yelling at everybody?
Oh my God.
It's propaganda films.
Well, I've been so going clicky. I've been going to GI doctors to figure out what the fuck is wrong with my stomach and why I'm constantly belching. Hey.
Hey.
Marry me.
It's my favorite thing about you.
The Georgia belches. Uh-huh.
You're good at it.
I'm great at it.
You're good at it. I wonder if you have a if people have belch scores. Like, I'd say that your belch score would be pretty high.
I would compete.
Yeah.
You know what sure. I mean? I'd be confident competing in that Olympic sport.
It brings a party together.
Does it? Or does it scare everyone away?
It doesn't scare anybody.
You say they bring us party together, but you're the only person from that party that I was belching at and told to stop belching by my boyfriend.
You asked for suggestions. I think he was pressed.
That's... He came up with it pretty quick.
It's
when I said, "Am I doing okay, baby? Am I being okay at this party that I don't know many people?" Well, yeah, but you might want to stop belching so loudly.
It's like you're like a human frog.
It was the only thing that made me feel comfortable at that party. I literally was on the verge of like, I'm going to drop these mashed potatoes off and I'm fucking out of here.
And then Georgia started belching.
Thanksgiving
like
by
a
myself.
Party frog.
Because Georgia was wearing like a vintage dress and matching pillbox hat or whatever.
No,
and
I was like,
oh, good. I wore my flip flops. I don't belong here. You know, the girl qualifications, I've skipped all of them.
I and overdo then, it because I'm a fucking man. There's no other way, besides looking under my dress, that you wouldn't know that I'm a dude.
Everyone's must think Vince is just like ventriloquisting. He's just burping with his mouth closed and tugging a string behind him.
Wait, but so you're going to GI doctors?
Oh, yeah. And I'm learning so much about the gut and therefore gut feelings and it's actually gut feelings is the same as having a feeling from your brain.
They call your gut your second brain because you make 80% of your serotonin in your guts.
Mm-hmm. And it's number two. I mean, there's a joke in there somewhere that I'm just...
Sure. Yeah.
Sometimes if you just say number two, the joke will come. It'll follow after.
And number two. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Guys, what have we learned? Don't push it.
Number two.
If we've learned anything.
Let's do another slumber party.
Yeah, let's do another slumber
party.
Which one?
You know which one. The snack.
Snacks.
Snack.
Okay, Karen.
Yeah. When it's late at night, like midnight... And you're hungry, and you hear a ghost doing dishes in the kitchen, but you want to make a snack.
It's a weird snack too. It's not like a snack you would share with other people. It's a snack that you're like, well, I have this and I have this, and I'm going to put these things together, and I'm going to shove them into my face.
Mm-hmm. It's a shame-free zone.
Okay. Yeah.
What? And it could be any what's the thing that you're like, oh, this is really good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll take kettle corn. And then I'll pour coffee creamer in a bowl.
What?
And I'll eat it with a spoon.
Wow.
That was incredible.
It's like cereal.
Is it?
It's like cereal.
It's a shame-free zone, Georgia.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Anyway,
I thought it was just for Karen.
That helps.
That was, I mean, truly, the gloves are off. I can say anything now.
Yeah,
try it.
Totally free.
I did know when Allie was at the store and she was like, I got to get snacks. What does Karen like? And I'm like, well, I know that she likes onion dip.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. For sure. I think this past Super Bowl, I was at home by myself and I bought onion dip, old school soup into sour cream with Ruffles. And then I'd say I got through the first third and then I was like, you had best put this away. You had best get rid of this. Because you could, I mean, there's no reason to stop eating that.
And you get thirstier and thirstier, and the dip is cold and wet. So you're like, this is liquid.
And it really becomes very painful, the salt and the...
Well, what's great about it is that, after, the first quarter, you realize what the perfect amount of chip to dip ratio is, and so you keep trying it, and then you want to try two chips to dip this dip.
Yeah. Yep.
And you just keep experimenting.
You dip, we dip.
That's
exactly.
But that's also the kind of thing where I would get lost in it and forget that people could see me. I would start getting very task oriented and kind of forget that there was people around. So I was like, oh yes, just the right amount or just the right density or whatever.
I only go to shit because of snacks.
You're just under your coat with the chip and the dip and the rest of the party's
happening.
Can everyone
leave the room or I'll tell you what happened in the Super Bowl.
Tweeting your chip and dip.
Almost got it. So close. The percentages were just slightly off.
Oh, no.
I think the thing that's embarrassing but I really love, and this is actually, it's not like a jerry-rigged snack. It's actually an official party hors d'oeuvre that my friend used to make when we lived in New York. She would always bring it. And it's a block of Philadelphia cream cheese cut in half. And in the middle, you fill it up with wasabi.
What?
And then you stick the other half back on. So it looks like a big, huge, fat green sandwich. With right? Crust cut off. Then you get some rice crackers. And then you get some soy sauce. And you pour soy sauce over the top in a very 70s hors d'oeuvre way. So of course. Like, it just looks like a drizzly thing. Uh-huh. And then you just eat.
Did she make this up? I've never heard of
this. It was her mom's recipe. Oh my God. And we used to go to parties or have like parties because we all work together and just stand around this dish and just be like.
Is it one of those things that's like so much better than you think it's going to be?
Exactly.
I guarantee you that it came out of an article entitled Oriental Party Dip.
Totally. Who wants to go fly east for the flavor?
Yeah. And then, like, the tablescape for the photo is just, like, the most racist thing that ever happened.
There's, like, Chinese stuff, but it's Japanese wasabi.
Yeah.
Like,
no!
A picture of Mickey Rooney from Breakfast at Tiffany's on the table, lovingly placed in the center.
I know, but it's so good, because if you have a Philly roll, it's all of those elements, kind of.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Except for the fish.
If you put some crab, some crab in there somewhere.
Or some smoked salmon.
Would
be a Philly roll.
Totally.
Oh my God. You know what?
My mom used to make us, and I still kind of crave, you get a piece of deli meat turkey, and you put a smear of cream cheese down the middle.
Yes.
And then you wrap it around a pickle spear.
Yes.
Pickle. Yeah.
It is. I haven't had it since I was a kid, and my mouth is watering.
So is mine. But I think that's just because we're like, oh, so much vinegar. I got to dilute it. I used to do that with bologna. Our latchkey kid situation.
That is a latchkey snack.
Was just like 2 inches of cream cheese on a wafer of bologna.
My sister and I, for our latchkey snacks, it was either 7-Up or lemonade and just stacks of buttered saltines.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Or toast.
Yeah.
Just like 6 pieces of toast each. It was
white bread or like brown?
Sourdough.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, sourdough is good. And just watching all the reruns of Three's Company and learning all about bad gender dynamics.
Yes. My dad would let us watch it when he was home. We would have to like sneak it when
Seriously?
Nobody was home. Yeah.
I think that's where I got my style from. Janet.
Yeah. I've wanted to go as Mrs. Roper for Halloween for like 30 years.
I'll be Mr. Roper.
Will you carry a plunger and seem sexually unattracted to me?
I will do that for you.
What's your next? This is a good game.
Yeah.
Halloween is coming up in like 7 or 8 months. It's coming up.
So you better get ready.
Yeah, I hope you know.
I know.
What was you, if you had to be a Halloween thing, what were you last year?
Or like, what's your dream Halloween that you'll never do?
Last year, it's so funny because I kind of, since that, I think the last time I honestly dressed up besides this past year was in that haunted house. I dressed as Jackie O, got drunk at 7, and was passed out for my whole party.
No.
It was Jackie O with the blood on her. So I had this kind of awesome, like, pillbox hat, 60s, one of those dresses that had the little jacket matching.
Like a Chanel suit?
Basically. And I, like, we sprayed blood all over the front of it. And we're, like, all ready for the party, but I had already started drinking, like, at 3.
No.
So by the time, like, literally people, I remember my cousin John showing up, and my cousin John was a guy with a toothache, so he came in with a thing wrapped around his head.
Oh, yeah, I love
and
those.
In a robe. And that was his costume. And I remember seeing him and laughing and then going and laying down and being totally passed out for the rest of my
life. And
party.
This is your early 20s?
Yeah.
You spent all that time splattering brains and blood on yourself.
Oh, my God.
You were probably drinking, like,
wine coolers.
Amaretto sour or something.
Yes. Wine coolers. Ugh. There was a lot of Midori for some reason.
Oh, no.
Midori was like, when we discovered melon balls, it was like, hallelujah.
Yeah.
But Keystone Light, for some reason, was like, I think it was always on sale at the like fake 7-Eleven across the street.
That's definitely a Sacramento drink, I think.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
for sure.
Hams.
They must have made it up there or something. Hams, they had hams was up there.
Remember Natty Light?
Yes.
People used to drink Natural Light in the dorms. Yes. And I would see them carrying like the 36 packs, like a ghetto blaster. These stupid, dumb white kids in Santa Barbara with like little soul patches and like hemp necklaces.
Ew.
Like,
yeah.
311.
Like, the worst.
Well, I still hang out with people who drink like Bud and Bud Light. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, I think it's, my dad like is a humongous Budweiser. Like, he's like a weird like lifelong fan, will never drink anything else.
Yeah, they have like this what is it called?
Affinity, like
loyalty.
Attachment, loyalty.
Yeah,
for sure. I think it's like a certain taste, like when you're drinking for maximum ingestion, you don't want to like get all caught up in the complexity of an IPA. You're just like, get this fucking beer down.
Especially because you know you're going to be drinking for the next 12 hours.
Yes.
You guys, it's hydrating because it's 3% alcohol.
Yes.
Right.
And 20 calories per can.
And water from down by the river.
I have, whenever I'm at a barbecue or something and someone's like, do you want something to drink? And you're like, okay, yeah, what do you have? And like, well, there's sink water or there's beer. And you're like, okay. They're like, you can drink the water that's the melted ice at the bottom of the cooler. And you're like, ah. And
I went to a party last weekend, like a cool girl's birthday barbecue, and I was like, do you want to drink? I was like, yeah, and it was like shitty beer or a huge handle of warm vodka, and there was a liter of Coke, and there was no ice, and I was just like, and there was like refrigerator ice, which makes me sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fridge ice.
And tastes weirdly salty.
Yeah, and then only solo cups, and I was like, what is happening? So I would like, okay, well, maybe I'll have a glass of vodka, like a sip some vodka, but I don't want to sip it out of a solo cup with
old freezer
ice.
Yeah.
It tastes like old peas.
Oh, there's always a garlic vibe. Yes. That's where you need a vibometer to be like, what vibe is in this ice? Garlic.
Garlic. Garlic and like a couple coffee grounds. Yeah. Do you ever do that where you like, you get some ice out and you're like, I didn't put the coffee anywhere near this area.
No, I think it's really a weird thing that they haven't invented. Like covered ice cube trays is not like a normal thing.
Covered?
Yeah, why isn't there like a basic plastic covering for ice cube trays?
Because also then you could stack it easier.
Totally.
Sorry, but you interrupted. Yeah, because you always stack it. I always stack them wrong.
Of course.
I cannot deal with ice trays. Like the idea
that you don't do that.
No, if I'm going to go to my freezer and they're like, you have an option of 8 ice cubes is your maximum. I would lose my shit. I buy bags of party ice.
Oh, you do.
I've been buying bags of party ice for 15 years where I was like, I can't, going to someone's freezer and they're like, yeah, ice trays are in there. And I'm like, you have 4 ice cubes left.
I guess I gotta make some more. You could have spent your money on a really nice refrigerator.
I know.
That has water and ice.
Yeah, I know.
You spent so much money on ice bags and water things.
We've discussed my water situation on this podcast for 2 years.
And we talked about it alone too. It's like not just the podcast.
I can't get it together. It's the part of my life where it's like, how is that person still smoking a pack a day? And you're like, I don't know. Like, how am I still buying water? I can't figure it out. Like, I need to.
And
you need
lugging
to
it up your, it? To your fourth floor apartment.
I'm really frustrated.
You don't
want
to get involved with like an Arrowhead situation.
No,
or, like,
because I don't know where to put the cooler in my home, mm-hmm. and I don't know what to do with the 7 5-gallon bottles of water.
Yeah,
and then I still am gonna need ice. You guys, I'm sorry.
You seem so frustrated.
You're still gonna need ice. I love you say that. Like, there's gonna be a situation where you're gonna buy bottles of water and you get ice with it.
Yeah, or it's like I'm not gonna solve one problem and not the other
one.
I
know, but you know what? This is what I do. It's very overwhelming. What you're projecting? It's only problems. There's no solutions.
No, you're right. You're right. What I need is to own the home I live in, have a major filtration system, and then have an ice maker and a water dispenser in my refrigerator. But that's so many steps.
Yeah, that's getting a home.
I've got some bad news.
What? Yeah. Oh, you own a home.
As a person who's got a home,
yeah.
I have never changed the filter in my water thing ever.
Is that a thing you're supposed to do?
10 years. Yeah. I think you're supposed to change it every once in a while.
Where is the filter? What is
the refrigerator? I have no idea. I think you'd have to pull the refrigerator out and like it's behind it somewhere.
It's going to be calcified. Like you're going to find some cool shit in there.
Here's what's going to happen, and this is the most annoying thing about life. You're going to do it. It's going to take you 3 minutes, and you're going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
And the water's going to taste so much better.
So much better. Everything, your life is going to be better.
I know.
Isn't it weird that I don't know how to solve my own water problem, but if you were like, hey, Allie, can you come over and change my filter? I'd be like, oh, yeah, that sounds fun.
Totally.
Yeah. That sounds like such fun, because who knows? You could find like have half of a man's finger in there. You could find like a new species of like...
That's that taste.
Of ice feathers. I don't know.
Or you could have been drinking mold this whole time and like you're depressed and you thought you were just depressed and it's mold.
But it's I'm drinking my own depression.
Totally.
I mean, that would be great if that was
wouldn't
the
that
solution.
Be great if that was it?
If anyone, that easy.
If anyone has water solutions, hit us up at Allie and Georgia.
People are going
we'll pass it on.
I love that about our listeners is they're like, here's a really random, we should read that listener email from the the nose boner one.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear a funny story?
Yes.
Okay. Go on.
But I just was going to say, the last time I did dress up for Halloween, just to circle all the way back around.
Oh, bring it.
Was because our friend, Matt McCarthy, had a Halloween party, and he said the costumes were required.
He did?
Yes.
Were you dressed?
Yes. But you probably didn't notice because what I did was I went to CVS and I bought some blue scrubs, which you can buy at CVS.
What?
Nurse's scrubs.
I didn't know that.
And I just went as the Ebola nurse. So, because I didn't want to try and I didn't want to have like an outfit on and I didn't want to do anything, but I was like, this is perfect. And then I walked into this party and every person that I knew or was friends with at that party was not dressed up. And I was like, God damn it. Why did I fall for this? I'm not a dress up person. I bent over backwards because Matt, who he doesn't give a shit. And then the first person I see is Joe. Of course he has no costume. Nobody that I knew at the party did.
I hilarious. Showed up and we had a costume on.
What did you do?
Vince and I were fucking Henry Rollins and, oh my God.
Dio.
Ronnie James Dio?
No. Henry Rollins and, oh my God. Help me out here, Dustin.
Danzig. Oh. What did I say,
Glenn,
Dio?
I was Glenn Danzig and he was Henry Rollins and we were in love. Henry and Glenn in love. Is
That's
like a
nice.
It was really
book.
Badass.
My dream.
Wait, were we there at the same time?
Yeah, you remember I crashed yours and Brent's conversation and I was like, I don't feel bad that I'm interrupting this private conversation because you're never going to fuck each other because one of you is gay. So
I have to say though, if you were dressed as the Ebola nurse and you didn't want to be at that party, you'd just be like, gotta go in quarantine, fuckers, and you leave after 2 minutes.
Yeah,
and you're
actually,
out.
I looked super normal. It looked like I came from work because I always wear clogs anyway. That's kind of how I based the whole outfit on the fact that I need to wear these clogs. I was like, all right, Ebola nurse, that's good. But after a while, it was like very comfortable, and those blues are like look good with my features. Like it seemed like a good idea.
Isn't it weird that you could probably just buy those at CVS and then roll around Kaiser and just like walk around all day and probably like pick up shit off of carts?
You could get an old like neck thing from a concert or something. Yeah, and just wear that around.
Yeah, it's like an Aerosmith backstage pass from '92. You're like, what?
What's up? And you flash it at people.
Like, you're like, nurse, please go get me some gauze.
Oh my God, nobody try that.
You just get free coffee all the time. Can I tell you guys
such
something?
Good hospital
I smell
coffee.
So bad right now.
Do you smell bad?
Really
you smell bad?
We don't care.
I can't smell. Okay.
This is a podcast.
Everything smells about me.
You smell.
Sorry.
You can smell as bad as you want. Do you want to hear? Should we play another slumber party game, or should I read a?
Maybe we'll read that when we do a solo.
Okay, we'll read it when we do a solo. But just know that it is concerning nose boners. We'll get there later.
Also, what's another? Email us people because you guys write the best stuff.
Yeah. What's another? What's your next slumber party game? Do you want to do?
Let's do. What do you like?
Let's do BB Boobop.
BB Boobop. Let's do okay. Let's
I guess boo boo more than bebop.
E-boop. That was me computing. Like that was my brain going. Eegoo cuckoo beats. What is it called when it's loading? Loading.
Buffering.
Buffering.
Yeah,
thank
you were buffering.
Should we do light as a feather? Should we do?
Let's do book club.
Okay.
I like book club. Okay. Book club is just where we're like, what are you rating? Is
we
it
call
good?
It book club.
It's easy to organize when you have labels like that. They just file under book club. That's funny. I just went to the last bookstore for the first time, which is a big bookstore downtown.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to say it like that.
I know,
that.
But I like it.
Which was nice. And so I got a book by Colin McCann, who I love as an author. He wrote a book called Let the Great World Spin, which is amazing. Mm. And so he has another book called Transatlantic. I don't know if it's older or newer or whatever. I just got it. And then I got... it looked like an intelligent bodice ripper type book. Like it looked like an other Boleyn girl type book that like when you're reading it, you're like, yeah, okay. You're a historical dramedy or, you know, drama novel.
But
or
you're
whatever.
Writing about fucking.
Yeah. But this is just like Elizabethan fucking. That's the only reason this book exists.
It's like not intelligent, but it seems intelligent because it's in the past.
Is it like historically accurate? Like I ripped her brumas off, or are they like kind of doing it kinky? Like
they're like her G-strings. We're totally.
Exactly. You're like, wait a minute. You're borrowing from the present and the past.
Yeah. The ones I like are accurate. Cause I really feel I don't want to read unless I'm going to learn something true and factual, unless it's by an author that I really like. I want it to be some like almost like worth the time. It's ridiculous.
No, that makes
That's
sense.
That's basically
yeah.
an excuse why I almost never read. But so like the other Boleyn girl, I think, was true. I mean, like, that's just, they just kind of made it, they dramatized it for the story, but it really happened. That's also what I'm looking for. This, as I opened it the other night, it's about World War II and the Italian resistance and something and some girl and whatever. And some
boobs and dicks. She's actually reading from the summary right now.
In the back of the book, it's like, it's about some shit.
There's
with some
like
stuff.
A fucking girl in a sweater and
resistance. And
you know,
girl.
A gun or what have you, cigarettes. And, and there's a piece of art. So on the cover, there was the art. And so I thought the book was from that era, but it's actually a fake World War II novel, because there was all the, it has a map, so I was like, oh, a map, I'm gonna learn so much. Then I get home and check the map and it's all fake Italian towns.
Shut up.
That they say in the corner of like, here are the fictional Italian towns we'll be talking about.
Rigatoni.
Like, why don't you do real Italian towns?
Why don't you tell me a real story?
Yeah, then maybe that Italian town, like Pizzaville, is going to be like, we never had a couple that lived there.
Pizzaville is like, Pizzaville is known for not having that kind of thing.
There's no calzone. Bodice has ever been ripped in our town.
All these like housewives come to calzone town to be like, where's the tree under which they consummated?
And you're like, oh, yeah.
The spaghetti tree.
Yeah, you know when Matt Damon was the star of this movie that they called?
I want to read some Elizabethan softcore porn.
Yeah.
I want to treat myself a little bit.
It's fun. I think it's like, we've seen and heard and know about people fucking in, and say, an office building or, you know, because the pool man came. But let's go back to a different time and explore that
it
era.
Fun. Let's go because the fountain man came.
The fountain
man. I'm here to replace the Aldrich.
Yeah, he's also 70, but it didn't matter back then.
No, back then.
Because you're 14 and you're of marrying age.
And it doesn't matter who has what VD because everyone's going to die from one anyway.
Everyone's lousy with syphilis. Everyone is just.
That's why I can't take those seriously, because I'm like, no, you're going insane because you have syphilis and you're trying to fuck. You've got so many diseases and it's just crusty down there.
Yeah.
So much crust.
I mean, chamber pots, you guys.
Ugh.
Google it. Okay, wait. Speaking of fucking.
Okay.
Do you want to play Fuck That?
Let's play Fuck That.
Okay, so Fuck That is a game we play at the end. It's two things. It's one thing you love so much you would absolutely rip its bodice off. and another thing that you hate so much you're like, fuck that, I hate it. So we'll start with the thing you hate. That way we end on an uplifting note.
Nice.
We try.
I think the thing I was trying to think of like the thing I hate the most, and it's people who use smiling and positivity as like a weapon.
What monsters?
Yeah, like there's those people who are like, hi, all the time, but then they are like conniving and backstabbing and sociopathic. But like, they get you off kilter because of the smiliness.
Ew,
like
who
literally
are they?
You baring their teeth and using their teeth as it, so you're offset of like, it's just that same thing of like going with your gut reaction where you're looking at a thing where you're like, well, this is positive, so I guess I'm in the wrong for having this feeling, when actually they're just showing their teeth to you. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, I just think people who, I guess it's about fakeness or whatever, but it's just that kind of thing of like, I would rather a person act neutral and then be sincere when they're actually happy.
How can you tell? Okay.
How can you gauge sincerity?
Yeah.
Well, it's just like kind of long-term action,
right.
I guess. So it's kind of like you take it for what it's worth as it happens. But then like I've just had that happen a couple times of the reveal where it's like, oh no, that person was whatever gunning for your job the whole time. Or that person was talking about you behind your back, whatever it is. That's like, I just have no respect for it. 'Cause it's like, well, if you're going to be a sociopath, have the balls to just be an asshole.
You know what's cool is people who are like just a dick. They're like, I'm a dick. And then they're a dick to you. And you can take it or leave it. What?
I think it's funny that in this conversation we have the balls to be an asshole or a dick.
It's like anything else.
Like, don't be a pussy. Right?
It's like, clearly the message.
Don't get your titties in a twist.
I'm sorry
and be a
that I interrupted this. It's like
most like grundelicious. You know what? Be the grundle. Don't be a dick or an asshole.
Yeah.
Be kind, be ballsy, so be a grundle.
Yeah.
It's be the neutral territory.
Yeah. Just actually mean what you say. I don't know,
about
or something along those
dicks.
Lines about dicks and balls.
Sorry. I think that's fair. I think that's a good fair thing. Don't come at Karen with a fucking smiley face emoji when what we really are bringing is like what? Like a meh emoji.
Yeah.
I think also, can I just say that I think talking about fucking under a spaghetti tree really put my brain like in that valley.
Spaghetti tree. Yeah.
It was in the valley of moist.
Paul and the spaghetti trees were in bloom in Italy.
All these colanders on the ground. I'm ready sorry. To catch.
As they are, yeah. the colanders were in bloom, ready to
was
catch
that not,
them.
Is that, if mine wasn't specific enough, I can say there was a guy that cleaned out his trunk before he put his groceries away in a Trader Joe's parking lot. That was totally packed, and I was the first person in line with a 7-car line waiting, and he literally cleaned out his trunk. And I was like, you are a passive-aggressive L.A. douchebag of the highest fucking order.
What a piece of shit.
It was crazy.
What was he wearing?
He looked like a dude that worked on a TV show. He was wearing a button-down Oxford and dark curly hair and glasses.
Like an actor or like a producer?
Like a writer.
Okay.
Could have so been he looked projecting. Like he was he undoing it in entitlement italics font? Because he looked like he got whatever he wanted.
In my opinion, his thing was, I'm just doing this now. I don't care. Yeah. Like, it's that LA thing of like, this look, I got to get this done.
This is part of my day. I've planned this as part of my day. And so.
And it's never like inconvenience yourself to pull out and go pull on a side street to clean out your stupid fucking trunk.
Yeah, seriously.
Clean out your trunk.
Do it before you leave. How much do you want it? Did you wish you had like a Nerf bat where you could just go up and bop them on the head? Just bop them up with a Nerf.
Do you ever honk at people? I am an aggressive person enough that I will do the like what the fuck arms, you know, at the guy, or honk at him.
Don't you wish that your everyone wishes this, that their horn had a dial and you could set it to two and be like meep.
I'm annoyed with
or
you.
You could, and because sometimes you want to do a meep but you accidentally do a meep, and then you're like now I'm the bigger dick because I was trying to alert you that you were being a dick,
like doing a meep meep. My horn is not conducive to a meep. It's like a or nothing.
I know. You don't want to be like fog horn.
Well, and also mine's only a meep, so it totally sounds like go fuck yourself. It's like the weakest.
Or it sounds like you're being cute about it.
Yeah, so exactly. Like, hey, mister.
Like you have an angry face.
Like no, not that.
Oh god, those are both legit, and I get both of them. And
super legit.
Wonderful.
Okay. Georgia, what do you hate?
I love music from other countries. I love music from Israel and from Africa and from
you are not racist
Middle East, and I love music from all kinds of the globe.
You love world music.
Except I hate world music. Except that's what I hate. I hate world music.
I get it. I didn't want
to
ever
say... You have to say what the difference is.
I didn't want to ever be the person on earth to say this first, but I get it.
I love music from other countries. Half of my record collection is shit that I was like, whoa, this is a weird thing from the 70s that like got recorded in Pakistan. I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
But I fucking go into a place and they're playing world music and I want to punch everyone in the face.
Oh, okay.
Is like, it because they have like a Peruvian flute and then there's some taiko drums from... Do you think world music
is
to all of the genres in once?
It's more the people who are playing world, quote unquote, world music. It's like pick the you're playing Italian music right now. Pick that you're playing this, but don't make your fucking vibe in your restaurant or in your store or wherever the fuck be world music.
Have you recently become a vegan? Is that what this is about?
God no,
because that sounds like a vegan vegetarian restaurant move to be like, all of our food is, you know, gluten-free or what have you.
Like that has anything world to music. Do with world music to begin with.
I think it's also something about there's like a really smug pan-cultural tone of world music DJs.
Exactly. Where
like you'll turn on KCRW on a Sunday morning. You're maybe Sunday's supposed to be chill.
We're playing some world music here. And they're so smugly like, look at this stuff. It's in Afrikaans.
We're gonna
and
you're be, like, I know you're a white guy in Santa Monica. Yeah. And I... don't like that you
we'll
are
be
being
at the Hollywood Bowl call now to win tickets for blah bling blues lady luda.
Lady Smith, so Black Mambazo.
Maybe you hate it when a white male is an ambassador to multicultural music.
That's it. Or I like a restaurant that's like, I know that this fucking dick, rich dick, and like his company and corporation owns this restaurant, and you're trying to get a vibe by playing quote unquote world music.
Yeah,
just play some jazz. Fuck you.
Play some jazz.
All right.
That's put on to a little Danzig.
Some fucking dancing on. Some quiet, mellow dancing.
Because it's almost like new age music. It's really,
exactly.
It's really, it's not legit world. It's just kind of like a curated.
And
version.
It's like, you're playing this because you're here. And you're like, yes, this is the weird thing I'm going for. It's not like, I love this. I love music from this part of fucking the, you know, of Africa. It's like, no, you're playing this shit to get like cred.
Oh my God. Is it the equivalent of a person who's smiling when they actually are vacant inside?
Don't smile at me with your world music.
I get it.
Be
I
a dick
it.
At me. Thank with you. Dancing. Allie, what do you hate?
With dancing.
I hate that. I can't. I don't. Okay. I hate it when you're watching a reality show where they're trying to make two people mate with each other. Like, for example, Married at First Sight last night.
Oh, God.
And I hate watching people French kiss on television. It was gonna be Moldy Berries, and I didn't know which I hated more, because Moldy Berries are also a fucking stage 5 bummer.
Yeah, like for, a rando blueberry that's just total mold.
In the you middle know what? Of the pack. Yeah,
even
the worst.
Even worse. I do this thing where I take frozen berries from TJ's that I've carefully put in my trunk for 20 minutes, and I pour almond milk over them, and then I crunch them down, and I make them into sort of like a...
Sorbet.
A poultice? Sure. That's what we'll call it. We'll call it a sorbet. We won't call it an Allie's alone eating blueberries on our couch at midnight watching reality TV. But every once in a while, you'll be like, this berry's juicy. And then you'll be like, no, it tastes like a moldy dish rag.
Wait, frozen ones get moldy?
Yes. And I don't understand it because they're all so dark, you can't tell.
Oh, I don't know that. I didn't know that.
And, but then you're eating them, and you'll get a moldy one, and then there'll be two people being like, I guess we're married now. And your whole life sucks. And that happened to me last night. But let's end on a thing, something we love.
Okay, Karen, we're going to end on your love. Okay.
Your love last.
Allie, you want to go? What do you love?
I'll talk about something I love.
Okay.
There's this thing that I realized happens this time of year. It's around Easter. You can go into the store. Vaughn's Pavilions does this. And you go into the egg case. And you're like, what's up with these colorful eggs? They're pre-hard-boiled and pre-dyed for Easter.
But you could just eat hard-boiled eggs.
Well, that's the thing, is you're supposed to buy them so that you and your husband can hide them in your lush backyard with your beautiful children to celebrate Jesus. But instead, I buy them by the dozen because I can crack them and adhere to a low-carb diet in case someone invites me to a pool party.
And so wow. I have the fun of the dye.
Yeah. Yeah. Who cares about the dye? I just, someone hard-boiled my eggs for me.
That's great.
Dope. But I'm also wondering, so many people are going to throw them in the garbage after their dumb kids put them in a basket. Continue.
I was just going to say, you're not talking about the ones that come in a bag with no shell.
No.
Have you
slimy.
Seen those?
Yeah, slimy. Those are.
I tried to get those like when I was doing a low carb thing, and they were. It was like, here's something to eat so you can barf. Like, it was the grossest thing I've ever looked at, smelled, taken a bite of.
I believe it.
It's like Epicac, but in egg form.
Yeah. I always, I'm a person who, Ipecac.
Egg-a-cac.
Can I get an Ipecac latte? Two pumps.
Sugar-free.
But because I can't justify buying hard-boiled eggs in general, because I was like, we have a show on the Cooking Channel. I should be able to boil some eggs for myself.
Sure.
But I was like, well, shit. If I don't buy these colorful hard-boiled eggs, some dick's just going to put them in their backyard and throw them in the garbage at the end of the afternoon. Yeah. I might as well buy these and eat them for convenience.
You know, 15% of the time I go to hard-boiled eggs, I forget that the water's there and I burn the shit out of everything. So I feel like it's an okay, like, number crunching wise.
Sure. And it's the same, but you can go out now, and I'm going to clean out Vaughn's and Pavilions.
Do it.
All these people are going to be like, we don't have any eggs to celebrate.
How are Jesus
kids
with?
Are going to... Mm. Oh, we're going to have to do it ourselves. Georgia, what do you
think? I love, and I started the first episode yesterday, and I'm already on like episode 6 or 7. HBO Go, there's a series. I'm fucking in love with it. It's called Getting On.
What?
Have you seen it? Do you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
What is it?
Brilliant.
It's fucking Aunt Jackie. Who is the most incredible actress ever.
The best ever.
It's, what's her face from Reno 911?
Yes. Niecy Nash.
Niecy Nash. She's just like a princess of human conditions.
Okay.
She's incredible.
That's the best thing I've ever. That is the best phrase I've ever heard.
She needs to get
hands
that.
Hands down today. All you.
Thank you.
The she princess of human conditions.
Could that be the name of this episode?
Princess of human conditions.
Yes.
She needs to get that tattooed on her back like a book blurb.
Like
Georgia Hardstar, and Rolling Stone.
Her and then the other nurse who I can't remember her name.
Alex. She's the one from Family Guy.
And, oh, is she from Family
and,
Guy?
And Mad TV.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know her. Alex.
Wait, is this the show about the old people homes?
Yes.
It's the war, like the recovery ward for old people in a hospital, but they're treated like shit and they're all out of their minds, except for Niecy now. She's like the queen of princesses, human conditions.
And she's holding it all down.
Yeah, and it's so well done. I binge watched it yesterday and I was so happy.
This is a potential spoiler alert, so anyone mute it. But did you see the one where Alex Borstein gets drunk?
I just watched that one.
Oh, the very last moment?
When she comes leaves?
Back in?
Yeah. No. Like and drinks water?
she says,
yeah, but
yeah. Okay. There's just a moment that talk about Princess of Human Condition. It's so real. It's very plain. It's like if you were sitting there writing, you'd be like, this isn't going to be good enough.
Yeah.
The way they played it and the way they did it, I cried for like 10 minutes. Yeah. It was this thing. It was just a friendship thing.
Yeah.
It was a very real moment of like, I know what you're talking about. Somebody's a pain in the ass. Somebody, it's like a thing of like when you tax someone's friendship because you're just a human being.
Yeah.
And you have to.
And I they, like and they accept you right because.
Because they're just like.
I've been there too.
Yeah.
It also has a lot of fecal jokes, right?
The first episode did, and it took me so long to watch it because of that, because I hate fecal jokes. But then it's just in the very first.
I hate the word fecal.
It's disgusting. There's some jokes in there, but it's not. There's not a lot.
Oh, I want to watch
it. It's so real and good.
It's brilliant. And Aunt Jackie, what's her real name?
I don't know.
I do.
She's so bad. She's such a bad person. Not like, God.
She's like your classic awful boss.
Yeah, and there'll just be a shot of her eating a salad and she's like chewing cud and she's such a good actress that she makes herself look disgusting. Oh, sorry. I'm going on and on.
Yes. I love it. Amazing. Laurie Metcalf,
yes.
Oh, nice job.
Yeah. Way to pull that
was
out
important
of
to me. It's important that I said that.
Karen,
I'm so impressed that you got everyone's name out.
I know.
Well, I do love that show. I'm the queen of somebody that's like, oh my God, that's my favorite thing in the world. And they're like, what's the name of that actress? I'm like, I don't know. I've actually only seen two. I've skimmed it. I've just heard about it. I read about it on Twitter.
Someone else told me. Karen, what do you love?
I mean, in general, I was just going to say, in general, which is so dumb, but like I love going to the movies so much.
That's great.
I just love it. But particularly, we went and saw that the Scientology movie, which is, I think, on HBO now. It's not.
Is it now?
Doesn't have to be like a movie.
Yeah.
But like getting to see inside when I first moved to LA, it was 1994, and I was so scared of Scientology. It was the weirdest thing in the world to me that this humongous cult was just flourishing in the center of the city in these big, crazy buildings.
They were legitimate.
There were people that I knew that joined it. It was a real threat, I guess, kind of. Like, I remember the LA Weekly did a huge article on it, and you couldn't get the LA Weekly anywhere on Franklin because they would come across the street and take all the LA Weeklies and throw them away.
Holy shit.
That you wouldn't read how they're harassing people and calling people pedophiles and just flyering their neighborhood saying this person will touch her child and make people move and all this crazy shit. And like really scared me. And so like going to see that movie the other night, it was like a full circle of like, it's over. Like what they say in this movie and what they talk about are all the things that I remember thinking back then of like, how is this possible and going on? And it's kind of like it seems to me to be the end of an era, as long as I get that money away from them. But it was just kind of an incredible going clear. Right. Yeah.
It's really good.
And it's on HBO now because it's an HBO documentary.
Oh, I want to see this. Yeah. You know, when the moment I stopped being afraid of Scientology is I used to live across the street from then. And I saw the bailiff pants they make their female employees wear. And I was like, oh, you're not. I can't take you seriously.
You're not a threat.
Yeah. I was like, look at how they make them wear. Because they make them wear the bailiff pants that go mid-waist. And then they have a weird pooch of pleats. And I was like, you don't have anyone's best interest in mind. And you're not going to help anyone's career. If you did, you would put them in some low-rise Banana Republic slacks.
Yeah. Well, clearly they don't have any good costuming people.
No.
To devise.
You need to break it down. You know what happened also is... I'm sorry, this is a dumb story, but I'm sorry. But okay,
go.
Just really quick. So I lived across the street from the main Scientology Center, the Celebrity Center. And from the roof, I could look down into their gardens. And once I was looking over and I saw a whole room full of people in uniform doing these weird like movements, and it was like a ritual, and I was like, holy shit, I'm gonna crack the roof off. And then I realized it was just a Tai Chi class. But I was like, I saw something important.
That happened to me when I
hypnotized.
When I was San Francisco, the first year I lived there, and I got on the bus one day, and everyone had this black mark on their forehead, and I was like, this is a cult. Like I thought it was like the day the Earth stood still or something, and then I learned about Ash Wednesday.
Yep.
Which as a Jew, I had no idea
you
that was
didn't
a thing.
Know? No, that's so funny.
And I lived in LA where you don't see people on the street ever. Yeah. So when I lived in San Francisco, I got on the bus, and I was like, four people and I got freaked out.
And there's more Catholics and Christians in San Francisco, I feel like.
Yeah,
but it's like
for sure.
It should be like National Aaron Neville Day where you just remember Aaron Neville with the big mall.
Yeah.
I was out this past Ash Wednesday and I saw a few.
And I was like, it's so weird. Because I haven't seen it in forever.
Yeah, you don't see it here.
It's so old school looking. Yeah. It's so clearly from like 1000 AD.
Yeah. I know.
Because it's just like ashes on the face.
You know, though, if
for
you,
your lord.
If I read on like allure.com that you could take a matchstick and burn it and use it as like awesome organic eyeliner, I'd be like, okay. Like I'd smear ashes on my face.
You can, right?
Yeah, I think you can.
Can you?
I think Monica from Friends. God, I just keep saying people's character names and not there.
Courtney
Love. No. Courtney Cox recommended that.
Nope. Courtney Thorne Smith.
Yeah, I haven't heard of her. Oh. Doesn't she just go by Courtney Thorne now?
Oh, I'm sure she
did. Did she get divorced?
I don't know.
Can I tell you a really good party game? Or if you're on a date and you have nothing to talk about,
please
name any celebrity like Courtney Thorne Smith and go, how many Twitter followers do you think you should have? And then you guys both guess.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah, and then whoever's right gets to leave.
You get out of the car now.
You're like, and goodbye.
Wait, can I do one spoiler of that movie is just my favorite? This is really...
You texted me. Is it what you texted me the next morning?
Yes. This out is of the my blue. True favorite thing.
Yeah, of going clear.
I think I told Alice, but movie. I couldn't explain it. But okay. Please explain it.
In the movie, they say that there's this big ranch that they owned. And when Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman first got together, he called and said he wanted a field, like a field for them to run through, like a field of flowers.
It had been his dream.
That was his dream. So they built him one. And then that crazy David Miscavige, who was like the crazy Hitler.
The star of the show.
Yeah. He went out. They put in a huge field of wildflowers for Tom and Nicole to run through. And then he went out and said it was wrong and had them pull it all up. And this is how these people are spending their fucking days.
My God. I knew so many waitresses who were in Scientology, and like they had to tithe a certain amount, and like it went to buy a wildflower patch.
Yes, for Nicole Kidman to fall into,
like in slow mo in their minds.
Oh my God! It was my favorite thing I've ever learned, or like it was like factoid, and it was clearly like this secret insider information where you're just like, that's better than any ritual or any weird Tai Chi thing that they could be doing. It's like,
no, they're actually doing this. You
know what? I bet if there's anywhere on Earth that has a holodeck, like in Star Trek, it's like, it would be a Scientology center. Like they have a room where it's like beep, boop, boop, boop. And it's like, it's a field now. And you're like, dope. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're going to be the first people to make an actual holodeck.
Sure.
You guys, mark my words. Also, please don't kill us.
Holodeck.
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 Y'alls. Well, with that, where can we stalk you? How do we find you? Not if you're a Scientologist.
Not. At Twitter. Karen Kilgariff at Twitter. And that's about it. That's all I'm interested in being found at.
What about your album? Plug your beautiful album.
Oh, I have a live album called Live at the Bootleg.
It's so good.
On a Special Thing Records that I made a year ago.
Is that available on iTunes?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Download it. You guys should download it.
It's fucking great.
It's live.
Thanks for being on this podcast with us,
you
Karen.
Guys, thank you. It was so
fun.
Great. Yeah. It was awesome.
This We've is super
been
dope.
Allie and Georgia. And, this is Feral Audio. Thanks, Dustin, for being Feral Audio.
Look at more awesome podcasts at feralaudio.com.
Yeah, and subscribe to us, probably, and leave us comments, probably, and email us, Allie and Georgia. Weird shit. Tell us about your water system.
Yeah. You can find us on Twitter, also, Allie and Georgia. We're on Instagram if you look for us. And thank you guys again for rating and subscribing, because we are climbing these Comedy charts
number 69.
Hey, so text a friend right now and tell them to start listening. That way you guys can start using inside jokes from it. We'll strengthen your relationship. Bye guys. Feral Audio.